Genesis 6. I want to preach on this subject, Lord, as burdened my heart with, on in to win in the end. How many got it? In. In to win in the end. Got it. All right. That's what the Lord's put on my heart to preach. Now this is, like we said, September for souls, and unless the Lord changes my mind, and He certainly has that prerogative and privilege, if He don't change my mind, we're going to be throwing out the lifeline every Sunday morning. I mean, every Sunday morning we're going to be going after sinners, going after souls, all right? So try to get folk here lost without God, amen? And let's try to prepare hearts where He can deal with them, amen? All right, I want to read some verses. I'm just going to skip through and read some verses out of chapter 6, 7, and 1 or 2 in verse 8. The Bible says in verse number 18 of chapter 6, "But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come," notice this word, "into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female." Look at chapter 7, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house," here it comes again, "into," not unto. I just seen that. There's a big difference of unto and into. You could come unto the ark and be close, but not be in it. You could come to the place that you're close enough to touch it, but not be in it. So I think it's a very, I believe it's very worthwhile to point out in the service this morning that you better not base your salvation on an unto. The fact that you're close, the fact that you're around it, that you can see it, you better make sure that you're in. You better make sure you're in the ark. The only people that were saved in Noah's day on planet Earth were the folk that were in. There was people, you know good and well, there was people died within a few feet of that ark. In fact, there's probably, I'm just imagining, you know how people do when they panic. When that flood came and started getting deeper and deeper and deeper, I would just about say that you could probably find fingernail scratch marks, claw marks on the side of the ark. People died close to it, all around it, died seeing it. Some people, Brother Craddock, they ain't no doubt, some people died in that flood under the judgment of God, lost without God, and the last thing they saw before they went under was that ark. But you can be close enough to where you could have the word unto applied to you where you're close. Your point, you're at that point. You can see it, touch it, you've heard it, you've been exposed to it. It's all around you. Your parents have told you about it. Your preachers told you about it. We're in the Bible Belt of the world, and you've heard it a lot. You've all around it. But I remind you, nobody won in Noah's day except those that were in. You've got to be in to win in the end. And the Lord said unto Noah, chapter 7, verse 1, "Come thou and all thy house." God wants all of your house in. God's Word teaches household salvation. Philippian jailer got saved in Acts 16. The Bible said, and he got saved and his house. Amen? I think dealt with this one night, here at the church recently, about the family circle being broken. Boy, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That'd be awful, wouldn't it? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. But the Bible says, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse number 7. And Noah went in. You like that word in? Noah went in. He was invited to come in chapter 7, verse 1. Come thou. Noah, come thou. He was invited to come, not forced, not manipulated, not made, but invited to come in chapter 7, verse 1. Noah got saved because, listen, come here now, all this is coming fresh. Noah got saved not because he was invited. He got saved because of chapter 7, verse 7, and Noah went in. You can hear it preached. You can be invited by the preacher, by soul winners, by saints, by family, for you to get saved and even be invited by the Holy Spirit of God to get in, but you'll never get in until you go in. And Noah went in. In's a big word, Noah. That was the deciding difference between him and the others that perished under the judgment of God, is that little word in. There's only two crowds on planet Earth. Two. I know there's almost, what's the population now? Almost 7 billion? Close to 7 billion people on planet Earth, but there's still only two classes of people. And that's the in crowd and the out crowd. Saved crowd, lost crowd. People going to heaven because they're saved, and people going to hell because they're not saved. There's only two classes. Even in this congregation here this morning, there's only two classes. In or out. Which, that little word IN's only two letters, but it'll make the difference of where you spend eternity. Amen? Out is three letters. In is two letters. Not much difference in the size. But that crowd that wasn't in, that was out, went to hell. Amen? And there is a hell. Amen. And when you use that word as a reference to the place, as a noun, it's not cussing or cursing. If you use it to express how mad you are or what you're going to beat out of somebody or all any of that such as that, that's cussing. I don't care if it's in the pulpit or down on the bar stool. Are you listening? Amen. You don't use that word to describe how mad you are. That's cussing. Say amen right there. But IN is what's going to keep you out of hell. If you are in Christ, you can shout this morning, I'm out of any chance, of any possibility of going into the flames. Are you in this morning? In, that in crowd is the winning crowd. That out crowd is the sinning crowd. And the sinners will never be winners. Amen. Until they repent and believe the gospel and get in Christ, they'll be losers. Amen. And Noah went in. Watch this, Brother Silas. And his sons and his wife. Notice the repetition of the word and. And his sons' wives with him. Into, there's our word again, into the ark. Because of the waters of the flood. Verse 13, in the selfsame day, entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, and the Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons with them into the ark. Are you listening? Verse 16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God has commanded him. And I like this. And the Lord shut him in. In to win in the end. In to win in the end. There's other verses we could read. Let's read chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters was assuaged. That's how you pronounce that. I heard Alexander Scorby say it this morning. Assuaged, I meant to say. Assuaged is how it was worded. Meaning it subsided, it dissipated, it drained out, back off. But notice, I didn't read them all, I just picked two or three out, but there are 16 times, starting in chapter 6, verse 18, down through chapter 8, verse 1, there are 16 times that you find the word in, or into, or the word entered. The whole success, the whole outcome of this story with Noah's Ark, which was a real, definite happening, the whole success of it hinged on who was in and who was out. And let me say something, dear friend. It wasn't just the ones in that had opportunity to get in. We here at this church do not believe for a second that God chooses and elects and sends some to heaven and some to hell. That is fatalism, that is Calvinism, that is not taught in the Bible. Jesus Christ, He tasted death for every man. And I noticed something studying this. This week I'd never seen before. And I preached on Noah's Ark, I don't know at the times I preached on it. From different angles about different subjects, but I'd never noticed this before. That after Noah went in the ark, that door stayed open for 7 days. I'd never seen that. I seen that and I thought, I'd made a note in my Bible that there was so many went on the ark, animals and everything, that it took 7 days to load them all. But it still didn't dawn on my thick head that door stayed open 7 days even after Noah and his family went on board. In other words, it's probably some of that crowd. Probably some of that crowd close enough they could look in. Some of that crowd, Brother Brian, that probably died under the judgment of God and missed heaven was probably close enough they could look in and see. You can be close enough to be looking all at it and look into it some, but if you're not in it, you're going to miss heaven. Amen. Which side of the door are you in? Are you on the outside or the inside? The door is what's going to separate you between hell or heaven. Amen. You're going to be shut out from one and shut into the other. Amen. That's a twofold purpose of a door. It's to shut out and to shut in. I didn't just get shut in to Christ, but I got shut out of this world. I've gotten shut out of the condemnation of the world, the course of this world, the corruption of this world. Thank God I'm glad I'm in. I'm not in looking out with envy. That same door that was open 7 days that allowed them to look in could have allowed Noah and them to look out. But I guarantee you, not one time did Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, or Japheth, or their wives ever look out the door and say, "Oh, I'm envious of that crowd." Not one time did they ever say, "You know what? I wished I was still out there with that partying crowd. I wished I was still out there with that drinking crowd and that dancing crowd and that doping crowd." Not once, the in crowd are glad to be in. That in crowd are shouting about being in. Oh yes, friend. I'm not the least bit interested in going back to where I used to be. I'm not the least bit interested in going back to what I used to be. I'm in and glad of it. Say amen right there. Amen. But you know what? On that same note, that crowd that Noah and them could have looked out and saw, they were never envious of that crowd. Now I wonder about this. I wonder if that out crowd was ever envious of that in crowd. I know in the end they were. All of them was. Every one of them, before they drew their last breath, probably no doubt had a thought on their mind and maybe said it, "Oh, I wish I'd have listened to that preacher. Oh, I wish I'd have got in." While the door was open, before the judgment started, I wish I'd have got in. I didn't have to die in the storm. I could have been sheltered by grace. Amen. But I wonder if that crowd, before that point, Brother Ivan, I wonder if they was ever envious of that in crowd. I wonder if the in crowd today lives in such a way that will cause some of the out crowd to want what you got. I wonder. It's sad. It is. It's sad that the sinning crowd looks like the winning crowd. And the winning crowd looks like the losing crowd. That's a shame. That, friend, is why a lot of our youth ventures in that direction when they get on up in age, is because they think in their mind that's the winning crowd. And for me to win, I've got to be popular. For me to win with the winning crowd, I have got to fit in with looks and actions and dress and music and everything else. I've got to go in that direction. Why is it that young people today are not trying to grow up in our churches, be interested in godliness and purity and holiness and service? But rather, many of them are going that way. It's because they think that crowd is the winning crowd. They think that Hollywood crowd's the winning crowd. They think that those out there in stardom is the winning crowd. But I'm reminded back when I used to play ball, you never knew really who won until the shot was fired and the clock had run out. You young people, when you're looking at that so-called, seemingly winning crowd out there, you better know that it's not over yet. They might have a winning quarter. They might run a winning play or two. And it may look good for their side. But I want to tell you, we've got a Bible that records the score in the end. And that crowd that looks like a winning crowd is in fact going to be the losing crowd. Amen. Don't you be swept off your feet by one winning play or one play that looks good, one quarter that looks good. You know, you better know the end result. Two times in Proverbs chapter 14 and let me read it right here. Chapter number 14, Proverbs 14, listen to this right here. In the same identical verse, chapter 14 verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. It looks like they're winning. It looks like everything's going their way. It looks like they're going to run the score out. Look like they're going to be the one that's going to get the trophy. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but... Don't you stop reading right there. You better know that God's putting an interruption in there. God says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Chapter 16, same verse. Chapter 16 again. There is a way that seemeth right. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof the ways of death. You better be concerned about these two words. Everybody listening, say amen. You better be concerned about two words. And here it is. You find it at the closing of every book. You see it at the closing of every movie. You see it. It's a well-known term. The end. You better be concerned about the
end, because that is when you're going to know who has won and who has lost. I'm here to tell you, under the direction of the Holy Spirit this week, my friend, to preach this morning on end to win in the end. That crowd that seems to be winning, the game for them is not over yet. That game for them is not over yet. As far as practically, and we know positionally, they're already condemned. According to John 3, they're condemned already because they have not believed. Amen. In other words, it don't matter what... They're condemned already. You know what that's saying? It don't matter what plays they come up with. It don't matter how good their coach is. It don't matter how many fans is following them. It don't matter what cheerleading group's out there cheering them on. My friend, God said they're condemned already. That is, you can't win. You don't have enough trick plays to win. You'll never come out on top. You cannot win with sin. Sinners are not winners. Amen. You better be concerned about how this thing's going to wind up. You better be concerned of where you're going to be when you draw your last breath. And you do not know when that's going to happen. You do not know. And I hope and pray, and God forbid, that who knows but what somebody, even in the service today, is living your last day. It could possibly be me. Possibly be me. I mean, we're living physically under the threat of death at all times. Amen. Isn't that the truth? I'm telling you, we could be here today and gone today. I tied my shoes this morning, but I may not be the one that unties them this evening. Are you listening? Amen. I got up out of the bed this morning myself, but it might be someone else laying me down this evening. You say, preacher, you don't act like you're bothered about that. You just kind of just preaching that like it's preaching. Oh no. Because you see, the old account was settled long ago, 29, soon to be 30 years ago. I went to an old-fashioned altar and gave it to Him and got saved and my sins forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm heaven bound, buddy. Yes, sir, I'm heaven bound. I don't know when I'm leaving. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not in no hurry. I'm not interested in going on the next loadout, amen. I love life, I'm excited about it, but I want to tell you what, if God were to say your day is today and your time is up, I want to tell you, praise God, I'm in. It's on tape this morning. It's on video this morning. The preacher Rackley is in. Hallelujah, that's right. Amen. You don't have to fear death. For a saved person, death is only a shadow that we pass through from this world to the next. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad I'm in. I'm glad I'm in. It's real to me that I'm in. Amen. Well, I got on all that, but I like it. Got to be in to win. Close don't count. Good intentions don't count. Religious involvement, religious activities, religious accomplishments doesn't count. Baptismal certificates doesn't count. Faithful church attendance doesn't count. I want to tell you, knowing somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, it doesn't count. I want to tell you, there's only one thing that's going to matter, my friend, when it's over, is are you in or not? You've got to be in to win. It doesn't matter if you're a child or if you're a grandma or a grandpa. It don't matter your age. It does not matter your background. It doesn't matter your affiliation, your church, where you belong as a church member. Doesn't matter. One thing only is going to matter. You got to be in to win. And there's a lot of people, my friend, looks to be in, and got everybody thinking they're in, but in fact they're not in. I was one of them. How many in here got saved after that you made a profession of faith? And even after you joined the church? Several hands. That's right. Got to be in to win. Got to be in to win. Did you know this? Let me just say this quickly to you. The end is a reality. The end is coming. The end of my life is coming. The end of the church age is coming. The end of an opportunity of grace for you to get saved is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. You can, as a lost person, you can sin away your day of grace. You can turn away God one time too many, and God, and nobody knows when or if or how, but God can say that is it. Amen? The end. How many in this building is thinking, has thought any about the end? There is a way that seemeth right, feels good, looks good, everybody likes you doing it, but what about the end thereof? Preacher, I'm doing great. I'm excelling in the, on the ladder of success and popularity, and everybody likes me, and I'm fitting in, and I'm the most popular one in town, but what's the end thereof? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Boy, I feel a seriousness this morning. What's the end thereof? Preacher, I've got my mind made up. I'm going this direction and I'm making these choices in life and I'm doing this and I've got kind of things laid out. But what is the end thereof? What will be the end thereof? Everything you've got going on in your life is going to have an END to it. End. For physical things, financial things, material things, all have an end. It's not what you have. It's not what you own. It's not how much money you've got or made. My friend, what is the end result of the matter? What is going to be the concluding end thing? Do you know what? There's only one thing that matters when there's a game being played. It doesn't matter who run a touchdown, who throwed a pass. It doesn't matter who did this and did that. But one thing that matters is when the horn blows, who won? Am I right on that? Brother Carroll, when you go, you ask somebody about a game, maybe two teams played, one of the first things on your mind, what you ask is, who won? Am I right? Who won? Who won? And you know when that announcement comes out, it's never going to be changed. That's a done deal. Winners are winners and losers are losers. It's over. Who won? Hey, some of you sitting here today are wondering, preacher, who's going to win this thing? On one hand, I look at that crowd out yonder and they're laughing and giggling and cutting up and drinking and doping and all kinds of immorality and sin and wickedness. And I mean, preacher, it looks like they're winning. It looks like they're winning. Yeah, that crowd in those days looked like they was winning. Matthew 24, the Bible said they're eating and drinking and making merry and having a big hoorah time. It looked like they was winning until the Bible said, until the floods came. It looked like everything was hunky-dory until the flood came. And here, listen to these next words, and took them all away. Took them all away. Matthew 24, you can read it. And took them all away. Can I say that you that are here today and you're lost without God, all that you live for, you are going to leave it. That flood, that judgment that came, took them all away. You are going to be removed from here. Why, come on now, why live for what you are going to leave? Write that one down that I've never said it before. Why live for what you're going to leave? People are living for the very things that, my friend, they will leave behind. The rich farmer there in, was it Luke 12? Oh, very successful. Very prosperous, very successful. The Bible said that he had a problem. He had so much coming in, he didn't have nowhere to put it. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns and build, and here's a word that's worldwide, bigger. It's what everybody's after. Bigger. I'm not interested in best, as I've been preaching. I'm interested in bigger. Because the bigger it is, the bigger I look. Woo! The bigger it is, the bigger I feel. I'm going to tear my barns down and build bigger barns. That's where to bestow all of my goods. And God came into the equation. God came into the equation and said, thou fool, this night, before you ever tear down one board off of one barn, tonight you're leaving. You've got plans for staying, but no plans for leaving, but you're leaving anyhow. Tonight, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be? Who's going to have all of your big barns and all of that? Somebody else besides you, sir. Because you're a fool. You played the fool. You're foolish to go after the American dream. You're foolish to think that I'm going to get all I can get and have all I can get, and it don't matter what I have to, who I have to step on to get it. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to be somebody in this world. Let me borrow God's words. Thou fool. He made plans for the earthly, but no plans for the eternal. He made plans for the financial, but no room for faith. And I'm telling you, there's a man the world would look at. In fact, when he died that night, he did die that night. Thy soul shall be required of thee. God said it. He died that night. Reckon what the newspaper obituary read about him. Oh, Mr. Successful so-and-so. Oh, Mr. Big Plantation Owner. Oh, Mr. This and That. And I mean, every word of that obituary would have been saying, winner! 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 But God was saying, mm-mm. Loser! Loser! Help me, Jesus. But that crowd that's winning, seemingly, you better read the last chapter. And let me help you with a verse, if I can quote it. I believe it is in chapter 20 of Revelations. I'm not sure of the verse. I know verse 10 is, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake. I believe it's verse 15. I believe it's verse 15. The Bible said, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is it 15? That crowd that on earth would wear the title winner, have the trophies, winner. Everybody's voted me to be the winner. I'm the winner in pleasure. I'm the winner in popularity. I'm the winner in possessions. I'm the winner. But if you die without Jesus, you're not a winner. You've lost it. Matthew 16 says it best, out of the very words, right out of Jesus' very mouth. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited If he shall gain... Hey, let's put a word in there. Let's put a synonym in there with gain. Winner. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? A winner. He's a winner. He's won. And lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The rich man in Luke 16, everybody would have said, winner. Looked at his houses and lands, his possessions, servants, his status, his social status. Look at him and all the different angles, you know, and measure him with the measuring stick of our world, which is not the measuring stick of God. Everybody would have said about the rich man in Luke 16, winner. But something that he didn't expect to happen, wasn't planning on happening, happened. And the Bible said, and the rich man died. Hello! The end! The end! Not the end of your existence, but the end of your earthly life. He had it all. He's doing it all. Seen it all. And all of a sudden the Bible said that the rich man died. And the worst thing ever said about him was this, and in hell lift his eyes being in torment. Everybody would have said that rich man was a winner. But God says, nope. Anybody that's out, everybody that's out. Listen, I want everybody to get that word. I feel like emphasizing it. Everybody that is out is losers. I want to make it real plain for you young people that thinks that out crowd is really the in crowd. I want to make it real plain to you. That crowd that you're so interested in, God says they're out and they're losers. The wisest people on planet Earth is the in crowd. People that have said yes to Jesus. So that crowd, I'm not even getting close to even starting. I didn't even get to point one. But I'm about done though for this service. That crowd that looks and seems to be winners are in fact losers unless they get saved. But watch this, Brother Brian. I don't know if I can preach this without just blowing a gasket. But that in crowd seem to be losers. But in fact, they were winners. That's right. Amen. Some of you are so interested in what I'm preaching this morning, you can't even keep your eyes open. Isn't that exciting? I'm trying to keep people out of hell and you can't even keep your eyes open. You're real interested in what I'm preaching about. And I'm preaching about you. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching about you. I'm trying to stand in front of you and a disastrous end. My friend, and the disastrous end is you can be known by everybody, belong to this church, hear my preaching, and still wind up in the flames of hell. That crowd out yonder, friend. That out crowd out yonder, Brother Mark. Do you think they're looking at us as winners? Do you think that out crowd, that drinking, doping, popularity-seeking crowd out yonder, you think they're looking at us Bible-thumping Jesus lovers? Do you think they're looking at us with envy? Do you think they're looking at us, Brother Craig, saying, winners? Do you think when they look in the mirror, they're saying, losers? No. They've been pumped full of it through movies and music and magazines and everything else. My friend, that life out there is the winning life. Show me one that's ever won. Show me one of them. No, you're a nobody to that crowd. If you don't have the looks, you're a nobody. If you don't have the money, you're a nobody to that crowd. Amen. You're just another one in the lineup. When they get to where they can't use you but through physical breakdown, financial reversement, or whatever, they'll just cast you aside. You'll be a has-been and a used-to-be. They'll get somebody else in your place to take your place. Amen, that's right. That crowd out there couldn't tell the truth if they had it. My friend, they can't tell the truth. They're losers unless they get saved. Why is it that our people many times in our churches are so interested in going after their pattern, their lifestyle? They're letting that out crowd, Brother Mark, be the role models. Amen. But that crowd looks at us the same way sometimes we look at them. If we're not careful, we'll look at that crowd as winners when in fact they're losers. And sometimes they'll look at us as losers. But in fact, we're winners. I've read the last chapter, friend. I've read the last chapter. I know how it's going to turn out. The whistle's done blowed as far as God's concerned. It's over. It's a done deal. The church wins. The devil's a loser. Amen. Revelations 20 and 10. And the devil that deceived them. Hope he's listening. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night. I like this word. Forever. They look at us like a bunch of not heads that don't know no better. Don't have nowhere else to go on Sunday morning, so we've got to go to church. I wonder how many kids in this service would have rathered to have stayed home instead of come to church this morning. You wouldn't dare say it publicly, you wouldn't testify about it, and you wouldn't admit it, but in your heart, you would have rather stayed in the bed than to come and sit on a church pew this morning. You know why? You've been so influenced by that crowd out there. They have got a hold of your mind and your thought, and you look at all of this church business and this Bible stuff, missions and going to heaven and Jesus coming. You look at it as a bunch of losing stuff. And I want to tell you, friend, you better get God's scoreboard on it. And I want to tell you, friend, I'm about to have a spell. I want to tell you, it's not close either. It's not even close. We're not winning by one point. And we're not going in overtime. Hey, man. Well, yes, friend. I want to tell you, that crowd, the devil and all of his followers, has never yet scored the first point. Thank God. Jesus yielded the winning touchdown. Amen. When they put Him on the cross, they didn't realize that He was touching down. Amen. Nobody wins in football without a touchdown. You can read all through the Bible where God touched down. I'm glad in Matthew 1, there was a virgin named Mary, and God touched down through the Holy Ghost into her womb, and He was born, thank God, as the incarnate God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. He touched down. Amen. Lived His life, and friend, come a time, He touched down onto a cross. Touched down into a grave. And then He touched down into the lower heart of the earth for 3 days and led captivity out. Touched down. Amen! Thank God! And then He touched down on the other side of the grave, stepped out as our resurrected Redeemer. And then He ascended. But He's getting ready to touch down again. He's going to touch down on a cloud, praise God. When you go out of here in a few minutes, look up yonder, and you see all them beautiful clouds, hey, one of them might be the one. He went out of here on a cloud. He's coming back on one. Hey, you better get in. This crowd, I want to tell you, this crowd, not church crowd, the saved crowd. We're the winning crowd. We're not trying to win. We all have already won because we are in the ark. We are in Christ. Are you in? And I know we gave illustrations of the rich man and the farmer and all that. And we could go all through there. I mean, there's examples all through there of people on both sides of that. The world would view as winners when in fact they were losers. And then there's people through the Bible looked like they're losers. But they're winners. Oh, help us, Lord. What about Mary Magdalene? Son, from every report on society, she is a loser. Everybody said she is a loser. What about the woman at the well? Loser! Loser! Woo! Loser! Amen? I mean, all through the Bible, losers. Until they met the winner. Until they met the Master. Until they got saved. And then, my friend, the score changed. And I like this. Oh, Lord, this is good. When I was running with that losing crowd, which I thought at that time was the winning crowd, I felt like I was having to carry the ball. It was up to me to do and choose and go and be so I could be in that end crowd. Do you know what I found out when I got saved? No need to carry the ball. He's already carried it. It's all about Him. He's already done it. It's a done deal. The game's over! The game's over! The announcement has already come out! The church, the body of Christ, believers have won. And the score reads, everything to nothing. Hey man, that's the score. It's not 3-0, 6-0, close, barely made it. No, friend. The difference is so vast. Amen. Eternity to hell. Heaven to hell. Amen. Everything to nothing. So I'll stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we tried our best to mind you this morning. Thank you for the good liberty. Lord, you give us to preach. Lord, we trust and pray this morning that God, you'll speak to hearts. Lord, I felt a sincerity and a seriousness, Lord, in the service this morning. Lord, and I pray, dear God, somehow or another, that you'd help people to know. It's not my idea, it's not my opinion, it's not what I say, it's what the Bible teaches. Got to be in to win. In the end. Got to be in to win in the end. Lord, may there be some soul searching go on and see and make sure that they're in. Lord, Paul even encouraged us to do that. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. So, Lord, I believe it's something that everybody ought to do. Examine himself. Don't go to heaven because they're hope so and might and could and plan on it and intend on it. They're either in or out. Everybody in this service today is in or out. It's only two. It's not that crowd's almost in. It's either in or out. It's very plain. It's very, very clear and very plain. Those that were saved was in the ark. Those that were not saved were outside the ark. Right now, opportunities open. Doors still open. Grace is still be extended. Preaching is still going on. Lord, it'd be wise, be very wise for someone to say, I want to be on that winning, I want to be a winner. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be a winner. I don't want to be a sinner and die and lose everything, go to hell, suffer forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, I want to get saved. I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior, repent of sin, believe the gospel, and I want to get in. I want to get in. Because it's that in crowd that's going to win in the end. Lord, I'm glad I'm in. Lord, if it had been up to the devil, I'd have never got in. The devil's the author of every lie and of every thought and of every suggestion and of every desire that would keep men, women, boys, and girls from getting in. The devil's behind it all. Because the devil knows that he's headed to the lake of fire and he's wanting to take as many with him as possible. So he allures them and entices them away from getting in. Telling them if you get in, you'll never have any more fun. If you get in, you'll have to repent and quit all that partying and all that bunch of junk. Keep them from getting in. But Lord, I don't know of anybody. I don't know of anybody anywhere, anytime that's ever got in. Really got in. That regretted it. I've never met one yet, Lord, that's in, really in, truly in, that would say to me, "Preacher, I wished I was out. I regret getting in. I don't like it. I want out." I've never met one, Lord. Never met one. But there's coming a day, there is coming a day when every sinner will say, "I wished I'd have gotten in." Take the message, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed as she plays softly. If God spoke to your heart, you feel the need of coming. I've preached my heart. I've preached God's heart this morning. Very serious, great liberty. God's trying to say something to somebody.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.